Must have a special honor to sit in that special seat back there in the corner. They're happy. They like.
They thought we were going to have projector.
Oh, let's see what happens.
Look at this. Srimad Bhagavatam?
Yes, sir.
Fantastic.
He just got it today as a gift.
Huh?
He just got it today as a gift.
Really?
Shweta.
Ooh. Very nice. What a gift. Okay, so today's topic isn't part three. Today's topic is today. Yeah, Akshaya Tritiya. Not so long ago, we observed Ram Navami, right? Seems like a long time ago, but it's not so long ago. And Ram Navami or Ram Navami appears on the ninth day of the waxing moon. So from Navami, Dasami, Akadashi, Dwadashi, Triyodashi, Chaturdashi, and then the new moon. No, full moon. And then back to the new moon. So we just passed to new moon, and now it's Akshaya Tritiya. It's the third day of the waxing moon in the month of Vaishakha. So this Akshaya Tritiya day is a very special day, not as much honored in our sampradaya as in some, but it's in our Gaudiya calendar. It's an important day. And it's important astrologically for a number of reasons. One of them is, I'm not an astrologer or astronomer, so I don't know, but I know what the description says, that there are 3 days of the year in which both the moon and the sun are maximum shining. I was noticing last night the moon was just a little sliver. Did anybody else notice in the sky? Just a little sliver. I commented to Rupa, a little sliver, and he said a Lord Shiva sliver. That little, like as he's wearing. And this is that was the second day of the new moon. This is the third day. So, although it's a little sliver, I don't know how they calculate that the sun and the moon are maximum shining. As far as I can see, the sun shines the same brightness every day. Somehow, that's their calculation. And therefore, it's an auspicious day. Like Akadasi is an auspicious day, or the appearance days of the Lord, of Vishnu, Tattva forms of the Lord, are auspicious days, and we honor them in different ways, but we honor them because of their auspiciousness. So, on this day, Lord Parashuram appeared on Akshaya Tritiya day. And the auspiciousness stretches for 21 days. Again, I'm not an astrologer or astronomer, so I can't say why. I'm sure it is connected to both in some way. But in Jagannath Puri, on this day, they begin a 21-day festival. Those of you that have been to Puri may remember this when we went there. Were you there for the youth? So, on this day, there are a number of Shiva Lingas in the Jagannath temple, and they're brought out in front of the temple in the morning, an auspicious time in the morning, and a big abhishek, and they're placed on palanquins, and then they're taken on procession through every year the same avenue, and then for the next 21 days another avenue, and then another avenue, and it's each day that neighborhood has a festival. They decorate the streets with all auspicious articles, and periodically the palanquins stop, and like the Jagannath Rath Yatra, they come, because there's a I can't remember. It's some kind of a Shila, Narayan Shila or some Shila, and they make offerings to, like they do on the Jagannath cart. From their homes, they bring cooked items and place before the deity and make offerings. And the whole way, you know, it's decorated in floral arrangements, and it's a big distance. And they go to Narendra Sarovar, musicians, dancers. Whoop-de-doo, big party. And then they get to Narendra Sarovar, and the deities are placed. They have three boats, one for the Narayana Shila or whatever, and then the other Shilas are the two other boats, and they have a boat festival with musicians and dancers, and there's a special little place where the priests go out and the deities come, and then they make an unscheduled offering of bhoga to the deities, and singing and music and Brahmins chanting, and it's an all-day affair. And then in the evening, the procession, they go back on their palanquins and back to the temple, back in the temple. And then the next day, another avenue, another part of the city of Puri, it's their turn. And in each year, they try to outdo whatever they did the previous year, and it's a big, according to the people that live there, very popular festival. When we were visiting in Sri Rangam, it's a different time than Akshaya Tritiya, but it's a similar, some extending over some number of days, and the deities go in a different lane through this community and that community, and everyone. It involves the whole of the city in glorification of the Lord. The Shilas are said to represent the five Pandavas and Krishna. And the Pandavas and Krishna are going together for a boat ride. I'm sure there's some inner meaning of Leela. I didn't hear that description, but it's very clearly a big festival. It's not like, you know, when the Super Bowl comes to town or the World Series or something like that. It's a religious festival every year. And the children that are growing up in each of the neighborhoods, that's their experience growing up, and it stays with them. It's their life. Again, in Orissa, an Akshaya Tritiya is when the agriculture community, the Vaishya community, begin their plowing for the season. Because of its auspiciousness, it's good to begin something on an auspicious day. So traditionally, the plowing of the field in the agrarian-based economy that still exists, that's when they commence the plowing. Even in our Western tradition, there's a farmer's almanac. You heard of that before? No? It's astrological calculation of events that are forecast by astrological events. astronomical events become astrological events, and they forecast things like weather. I don't know if they got it right this year because it's such a mild winter and the spring started so early. I visited Gidanagri in March and they were already planting. This is a little loose flash from Gidanagri. There's a devotee couple from Florida, Indian family, that they made a 5-year commitment to Gidanagri to work with the agriculture. Specifically, they're starting with organic produce. So previously it was just Dhruva and Parijata. They were cultivating 2 acres. And with those 2 acres, they were producing so much. Now the 2 acres plus 20 acres. Those of you that have been to Gidanagri, when you're coming into Gidanagri, when you're coming down the hill, up to the left, there's a orchard, and then down the slope, there's a cow pasture, and then another cow pasture with it's fenced in, and then the barn, a little pasture there. So that little pasture is almost now entirely organic produce, because the farm has been certified organic. They've never used fertilizers or pesticides or anything like that for years and years. So it's organic, anything that grows there, organic hay, organic milk, organic vegetables, organic whatever they grow. So they're making arrangements with temples on the East Coast that they'll deliver 30 times in the course of the year, big baskets of organic whatever is in season. But they started already. They started in March. I've been in the East Coast and Midwest, and in Easter Sunday it snowed. But they're, so it's Farmer Zawalek, I don't know if they got it right this year. But a big part of astrology was, when is an auspicious day for something? To begin a journey, or to begin a business, or to arrange for a marriage, or when is an auspicious day? So Akshaya Tritiya is an auspicious day. Another thing that they begin in Orissa on Akshaya Tritiya is connected to the deity worship of Jagannath. This is when they cut the trees that are to be made for the 3 months later, the next Rath Yatra cart. There's a whole arrangement. A group of Brahmins, it's their service to identify the trees. And there's a whole science to it. Very detailed thing. Which trees become the trees that make Jagannath's cart? Then there's another group of Brahmins that cut the tree. And then another group that take care of fashioning the trees into lumber, and then those that put the lumber together to make the cart, and those that take the deity onto the cart. It's a whole different groups of personalities do all those different services. So this is the day they cut the trees for Jagannath's cart. So it's mid-April, May, June, and July. Rath Yatra generally is in the month of July in Puri. How many here have been to Simhachalam? Okay, we went there on Yatra to Simhachalam. Achala means hill, and Simha is Lord Nrisingadev. So it's the hill on which Lord Nrisingadev's deep temple is established. But the deity in Simhachalam is a Varaha Nrisinga deity that one can have darshan of, not covered by chandan, for one day. And actually it's for something like 8 hours of that day, darshan. And then, because I'll give a little background. So that day that there's darshan is today. And the evening before, darshan ends at 6 o'clock, and they close the door, everyone out, except the Brahmins. And then they have a big festival. one of the Brahmins and invited guests, and one of our devotees was invited. So he described to me what happens. He didn't have a camera, but he told me his experience. From 6 o'clock until 11 o'clock, they have a big festival. They have the worship area is not large, but the place is packed with devotees that have been looking forward to this big day for the whole year. And they have special groups of Brahmins chant certain mantras, and then another group chants another set of mantras, another group chants another set of mantras, kind of like we do with kirtan, you know, this kirtan group, that, but that's the beginning, and it goes on for 5 hours. And then, something happens, I forget, something between 11 and 1, but it's an all-nighter, it's an auspicious evening before Akshaya Tritiya. And then there are certain Brahmins that remove the, if I remember the numbers correctly, it's 64 kgs of chandan covering the deity. The deity's like this big, and the 64 kgs is this big. And then at 1:30, at 3:30 in the morning, when that's done, they have 1,000 pots of water from a very special self-manifesting stream that appears in a very proximate mountain. It's just like the Ganges, just comes out of the mountain. You know, where does it come from? It's not melting snow, or it just comes out of the mountain. So like that, like at Gangotri, there's a river that there was a time when there was a drought, a lack of rain in Andhra for 3 years. They didn't have a drought. They had water coming out of that place. So early in the morning, there's some Brahmins that for the Abhishek of the deity, they go over there and it's their service and they bring, and you know, it's pure water. It's sacred, pure water. So 1,000 clay pots of this sacred water is brought, and you know, in descending order, the honored most Brahmin performs Abhishek, and then 1,000 of those take place. And then they do the puja, and then they have their darshan starting at something like 6:30, 6 or 6:30. And then they have their special invited guests only darshan. And then the public darshan. The public darshan takes place, people are lined up for like 2 days. Because those of you that have been there, the line goes all the way down the hill, or halfway down the hill. You've been there?
Not on that day. It's almost 18 years ago I went there.
Ah, okay. I went there 1 year ago. And it's up, something like Tirupati, up, long, winding road. So the people are, they're camped out. They've got their picnic and their lunches and whatever else they do. So they're just waiting to that day, today, when they can have darshan. And then when darshan is over, they close, and then they put 4 times of the year 12 kgs of chandan on the deity. And the history is that this deity is as old as the Prahlad Maharaj Hiranyakashipu Lila. It's described by the local devotees that the place where Hiranyakashipu's henchmen, hitmen, his assistants, were trying to kill Prahlad, one of the places was up on a mountain. They pushed him off a mountain. They say that place was Simachalam because it's a mountain and near the ocean, and at that time the ocean was right by the mountain where they were. And as they pushed him off the mountain, Lord Vishnu caught him. But Lord Vishnu, the form of Lord Vishnu that rescues the earth from the bottom of the Garbhadak ocean is Varaha. So a Vishnu form of Varaha, but because it's Prahlad, a Varaha Nisringa, Murti was there to catch Prahlad and place Prahlad back up in a safe place on the mountain. And Lord Nisringadev, this Varaha Nisringa, was in a very angry mood that Prahlad was being attempted to be murdered in this way. And after some time, he manifested this deity form. And some greater time later, one king and a celestial consort happened to be passing through that area, and he had a dream in which the Varaha Nisringa deity instructed him where he was and requested him to worship him. And so the king found the deity and made a fabulous temple for the deity high up on this mountain. And he arranged for the worship. And after some time, another dream in which the deity said, "I'm still very hot from anger at Hiranyakashipu. To bring down my temperature, can you arrange for chandan to be placed all over my body?" And apparently there was instruction exactly as they do today. 4 times during certain phases of the moon and 12 kgs, a big festival, and then on top of that another 12 kgs, on top of that another 12 kgs, on top of that another 12 kgs. That comes out to 48. Somehow it's 64, whatever it is. Something, I can't remember the numbers exactly, but I remember that the pujaris saying the deity is like this, and when it's covered with chandan, he's like this. So when you take darshan of the deity, you just see a big pile of chandan. Except one day. And that's why so many people come for darshan of the deity for that one day. And that's Akshaya Tritiya. In our ISKCON centers, particularly there's in Vrindavan, in North India, I don't know what's the practice in South India. In North India, perhaps you've seen pictures. If you go to Krishna Balaram Mandir, Vrindavan, you'll see today pictures of Krishna Balaram and Radha and Shama Sundar completely covered. I mean, head to toe covered in chandan. And, you know, little shorts. Because it's really hot in Vrindavan. Our Gurukul is, the vacation begins at the beginning of April, because that's when it's hot like an oven. And by mid-April, it's hotter than hot like an oven. So they place chandan. I mean, it's chandan, yes. It's also called chandan yatra, akshaya tritiya. Entire body covered in chandan. I mean, you can still see his eyes and his hands, but his whole body is covered in chandan. And then for the balance of the 21 days, a nice amount of chandan on his forehead as part of chandan yatra, the first day of which is Akshaya Tritiya. The term Akshaya means unlimited, like Akshaya Patra, the pot that the sun god gave to Draupadi so that when they were in the forest for their years, because of their magnanimity and their greatness, many people came to see them, even in the forest. And they didn't have the means, as they had at the royal palace, to take care of serving guests. And this is Draupadi's liking very much. She's very expert. not only she liked, she's very expert in cooking, but she didn't have the means to take care of the guests properly. So this arrangement was made, as you know. On this day, this Akshaya Patra was given, where whatever she cooked, however many times she served out, the pot would just keep replenishing. It would be great to have one of those for your Sunday feast, wouldn't it? For Rath Yatras and Janmashtami, and just one pot serves all. Step right up, how much would you like? You want seconds, you want thirds, no problem. Our devotees in central New Jersey, for Gaur Purnima, they rent a hall and they planned, they get as many devotees, almost as many guests to come for Gaur Purnima as they get for Janmashtami, something like that. They had over 2,000, 2,300, something like that, people come for Gaur Purnima. Wow. And they had planned prasadam for 600 to 800 people. And they had 2,200 people. So I asked, well, you know, did you run out of prasadam? He said, just everyone got prasadam except our core people. They just fasted for Gaur Purnima. They didn't take prasadam. But they could have used one of those Akshaya Patra Draupadi programs. But it was such that when she ate, then it wouldn't produce anymore each day. And that's when, you know the whole story. Durvasa Muni was requested to go there by Duryodhana. Just in the evening time, as the sun is setting, after everyone has eaten, bring your 60,000 followers and go visit the Pandavas. It would be very nice if you could visit them. They would be so appreciative. And Durvasa Muni understood the mind of Duryodhana, and he went anyway. Anyway, there's a wonderful Leela connected. Krishna came. Oh, Krishna, what to do? So Krishna came, take some spinach from the pot. I cleaned the pot. It's all, there's nothing. Go to the pot and reach under the corner of the pot and you'll find some spinach and take the spinach and give it to me. So she gave it to him. Durvasa Muni and all of his followers were completely satisfied because Krishna was satisfied. Anyway, that event was an Akshaya Tritiya. Then another related, different, but related, that by satisfying Krishna, everything auspicious comes into being, is the Sudama Brahman story. That event purportedly took place on Akshaya Tritiya, the day that Sudama was visiting Krishna in Dwarka. Any of the children know this story? Do you know this story? You don't know the story? Let's tell the story. You know the story? Yes? No? Next to you. You know the story? You know who Sudama? She's saying no. She's being shy. Panic stricken like. Okay. Do you know who Sudama is? Krishna went to school when he was a small boy. You go to school? Krishna went to school. But he went to school much later. Krishna was 12 before he had to go to school. That's because Krishna was in Vrindavan, just herding cows. And cowherds boys, they don't go to school, they just go herd cows all day long and play. What a life, huh? But when Krishna was 12, he was called by Kamsa to go to Mathura and take part in the bow festival. And after Krishna killed Kamsa, he was reunited with his mother and father, who were... Was the mother and father of Krishna? Either of you two? Vasudeva? And Devaki, very good. So Vasudeva and Devaki, they were Krishna's father and mother. So what do fathers and mothers want? They want to see their children go to school. So they found the best school teacher. And they sent Krishna and Balaram to the school of Sandipani Muni. Sandipani Muni engaged Krishna and Balaram in his school. But along with these two Kshatriya, because earlier they were behaving as if they were cowherdsmen, Vaishyas, now in their position as Kshatriyas or princes, sons of Kshatriyas, they went to the same school that one Brahmin boy named Sudama went to school. And there's a very wonderful description in Krishna book where those who were Brahmanas and Kshatriya children, they were treated the same and they were trained in humility, in service from childhood. And one of the humility, humble services that they did, although they were from very, very elevated families, kings and brahmanas, as small children, they assisted the teacher in gathering items needed for fire sacrifice, yajna. So to get the yajna materials, commonly was found in the forest, wood for the fire, certain flowers, certain minerals, certain ingredients, they're found in the forest. So Sudama Brahmana or Sudama Vipra, little boy, and Krishna, they went together. And as they were out in the forest searching for the items needed, big storm came. Torrents of rain, lots of wind, very cold. So they took shelter of a banyan tree. And the rain and storm went on all night, so they didn't even go back to Sandipani Muni's school. And Sandipani Muni was in anxiety. It's dark of night. These two boys haven't come back. He was in anxiety. And so the next morning, as soon as the daylight came, they went looking and looking and looking. And they found Sudama and Krishna. They were very happy being in each other's association. No problem for them. So much later, so many years later, Krishna became a resident in Dwarka with all opulence, 16,000 palaces. Krishna was exhibiting his Bhagavan feature of all riches, one of the many opulences of Krishna. But Sudama, he was a Brahmin, and he was engaged in very simple, pure, elevating, brahminical activity, but he had no wealth. In fact, his wife was so concerned that he was very thin, and he had only one cloth. And so how do you wash when you have only one cloth? It has to be warm and wear gumsha and wear the one cloth after it dries. And she had only one cloth. She was concerned for her husband's safety. So she pleaded with him, please do something. Your dear friend, you've told me so many times how dear your relationship with Krishna and yourself was. Krishna has so much opulence and Dwarka is not so far away. Please go visit Krishna and ask Krishna for something so that you're going to be all right. So he didn't want to do that because he was satisfied, but his wife was anxiety. Husbands know what this one's like. So to pacify the feelings of his wife, he went. But one of his hesitations was, when you go to visit a personality like Krishna, you should bring something, and we don't have something to bring. So she gathered from her little, almost barren storeroom, little pieces of broken rice and put it in a cloth and tied the cloth at the top, and you take this, give that to Krishna. It's all we have. So he went to see Krishna. And when he entered into Krishna's palace, the palace of Rukmini and Krishna, Krishna was seated on a throne, very opulent throne, and as soon as he saw Sudama, he immediately got off the throne, this emaciated friend of his, and placed him on his throne, then had Rukmini gather ingredients for washing his feet and worshipping him, because Namo Brahmanya Devaya. What's the rest? Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha Jagat Hitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Krishna loves the Brahmanas and the cows. So he worshipped Sudama. And there's a very beautiful painting. I was recently in, just before coming here, I was in another city where someone had just studied that story and saw the picture of Sudama, where Sudama is leaning over. He's not paying any attention at all to Krishna's washing his feet. He's just looking at Krishna's eyes, and tears are coming down his cheeks. And Krishna is washing Sudama's feet, but he's just looking at Sudama's eyes, and tears are coming down his cheeks. Tears of love. The affection of Sudama and Krishna was so thick, so strong. And Rukmini and other queens are astonished to see this emaciated Brahman and Krishna having this very obvious exchange of loving affection. Just with their eyes, Krishna worshipping his feet. And then some talks, and Krishna said, what is it you have behind you there? You're holding your hand behind your back. What's that? It was that little pouch that had the broken rice, and Krishna looked and snatched it out of his hand. Sudama didn't want it. Give it to Krishna. Krishna immediately opened up the cloth and, look what you have, this wonderful rice, and started eating. Took some, very nice. Took some again, uncooked, raw, broken, low quality rice. Reached again and Rukmini grabbed his hand. Only she can do something like that. And our acharyas have lots of commentary on what that meant. One of them writes that Rukmini was thinking, Krishna, how will you repay Sudama? Don't take any more. But Krishna's Bhagavan, he can do anything he likes. He has unlimited potencies. He can do whatever he likes. But this was affection of her rasa with Krishna. You'll be indebted. Don't take more. You won't be able to repay him. Then another was, she was thinking, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, there's a whole palace. If you take, everyone's going to want to take the prasad of your remnants, and there's so little here. Don't take any more. But again, Krishna is unlimited. He's Bhagavan. He can supply any amount of broken rice or good rice or anything he likes. He can create unlimited anythings he likes. But Rukmini was checking him. He spent the night in Krishna's palace, and the next day he left very early in the morning. And as he was leaving early in the morning, he was thinking, that's the day after Akshaya Tritiya, he was thinking, Krishna is very kind. He never asked me why I came to see him. But I know that he's omniscient, so certainly he knew why I came to see him, but he didn't ask. Because if he asked, I'm Brahman, I would have to say the truth. And if I said the truth, then Krishna would give me all kinds of opulence. And then I would become proud because my heart is not pure. Oh, look, I've gotten all these nice things from Krishna. How important I am. Krishna is very kind. He didn't even ask. And that was his meditation, going home. Krishna is so kind. Krishna is so kind. Krishna is so kind. This is a wonderful drama for some future drama at the temple. And then when he... Maybe you've already done it. And then when he got to his home, he couldn't find his home. Instead of his home, there was this giant palace. And he's wondering, what happened to my home? It was only yesterday. And now there's this big palace. And from out of the palace came some attendant and said, your wife wants to come and see you. She'll be here in just a moment. And he was waiting and he didn't see his wife. Then he saw one woman decorated and fine ornaments and jewels and fine cloth and very, very opulent and didn't even recognize. And then he finally, wait a minute, that's my wife. What happened? And she's saying, oh, Krishna is so kind. I know that you have asked Krishna just as I requested and see all this wonderful opulence that Krishna has provided because he doesn't want to see his devotee, you, his devotee, in any difficulty at all. Krishna is so kind. And the Brahman was thinking, Krishna is so kind. He didn't even ask. But he knew. And just see what Krishna has done. Krishna is so kind. Krishna is so kind. And he lived that way with his wife for the rest of his life, where all of his necessities were taken care of. Now, a brahmana, whatever they consider as necessities, we would consider impoverishment. But for the brahmana, they're very satisfied with simplicity. Prabhupada tells the story of one king, a small king, in Krishnanagar, if I have my history correct, which is very near to our Sridham Mayapur. And the king, Prabhupada gave his name, and the king was very, some 100 years ago, something like that. And the king was very pleased with one Brahmin who was had a school and was training his son, the prince, the next king. And so the being so pleased with how well his son was being educated, the king went to visit the teacher just to express his personal gratitude. And when he went to see the teacher, he saw the condition in which he lived and he said, you're living in poverty. Please allow me to create a proper residence for you. And the Brahmin said, what are you talking about? I have everything that I need. I have a little house. I have a cow. My wife takes some tamarind from the tamarind tree. She makes tamarind rice. I have a little milk and everything that I need. I'm completely satisfied. That's the quality of a brahmana. But then sometimes the wives of a brahmana think, oh, it's too austere for my husband. So that's what was behind the story. And this pastime took place on Akshaya Tritiya. Sudama, Krishna's cowherd, Krishna's Brahmin friend from when they went to school together. Later, Sudama came to Krishna and this pastime took place. Other auspicious events that are attributed to Akshaya Tritiya include purportedly Ganesh began the writing of Mahabharata, dictated by Vyasadeva on this day, and then continuing for some time until the whole of Mahabharata was written. I'm sure there's some other ones that I'm not remembering. But the overall idea is abundance, unlimited abundance, the opulence of the Supreme Lord is manifested on this day. He is unlimited, His opulences are unlimited, and those who worship Him on this day receive His association very readily. And of course, Vaishnavas are not looking for opulent life, but there are some persons that aren't Vaishnavas and they like this day for a different reason. It's a good day to buy gold. Or to give someone the gift of gold. And just like on Ekadasi, for example, those who are not Vaishnavas, they also observe that lunar day, Ekadasi, for a different reason than Vaishnavas do. There's a book that one person translated into English where the karma kanda, just like we were discussing yesterday evening about the distinction between dharma that's with material intention and dharma that's without material intention, but transcendental intention. Sankalpa means intention. So the Karmakanda worshippers, they like Ekadasi too, as do we, but for a different reason. Then they have each of the what is it? 26 Ekadasis in the course of the year. Each one is for a specific thing. Om Jayadish, Hari. You get this one, you get that one, you observe it this way, you give this charity, you observe that austerity, and presto, you get some benediction, some special something, some special something. So they like it, and they observe it, some observe it very carefully, with lots of austerity and lots of charity and all those good things, so they can get some good thing. And that's the purpose of Ekadasi in their way of life. But the purpose of Ekadasi for Vaishnav is it's a very special day for increasing bhakti. There's a narration, maybe you've heard this before, from Brahma Vaivarta Purana that describes why we observe Ekadasi the way that we observe Ekadasi. A little Puranic story for the moment. Lord Brahma is speaking in Brahma Vaivarta Purana. And Brahma has the service of creating the universe. In the language of the Bhagavatam, it's Visarga. There's Sarga and Visarga. Sarga is what Lord Vishnu does. He, from the unmanifest, he makes the ingredients for creation manifest. He makes the plan. He gives the creative impetus to Brahma. He gives him everything. And then Brahma is the chief engineer. He puts it all together and creates the universe and creates different species of life to preside and reside and creates Manu to rule. And, you know, he sets the whole thing up. So when Brahma had finished the work of creation, like anyone else that has done something, big undertaking, a big task, like after we have our Janmashtami festival, we step back and say, how did it go? What went well? What didn't go so well? What can we do better? Like that. So, Vyasa did the same thing after compiling all the Vedas. He got this inspiration. Kali Yuga is coming. Let me take the knowledge of the Vedas and put it in a written form. So he arranged for the Vedas to be written. Ganesh writing and him speaking. And after it was done, Vyasa stepped back and wanted to see how did it go. That's discussed in the first canto of Bhagavatam, in chapter 4. So, Brahma in Brahma Vaivarta Purana did the same. How did it go? How did it come out? And he was considering the creation, and he felt awful, because in this material creation, there's so much unnecessary suffering, because it's unnatural, it's a diseased, unhealthy condition for the living entity to be in this suffering condition. But Adi Atmaka Klesha, Adi Bhautika Klesha, Adi Daivika Klesha, so many hellish planets, such severe suffering that have nothing to do with a living entity that's Satchitananda, like the Supreme Lord. So he was holding his foreheads, saying, what have I done? And so he prayed very intently to Lord Vishnu, please make some arrangements so that people can get relief from this suffering creation, this universe that I've created. So Lord Vishnu responded by saying, I will make one very special day that comes twice in the month on Ekadashi day, and it is so auspicious that it can eradicate all the sinful reactions of those who observe it nicely. Sin will not prevail. Sin will be destroyed, annihilated on this day. So Brahma was very happy. Everyone was happy except Papa Purusha, sin personified. He was very unhappy. And he went complaining to Lord Brahma, what have you done? You've made this situation such that you created the place and you gave me a residence in your place, and then you made it so that I can't exist. So please make some arrangement for me. So Lord Brahma said, very well, you can take residence in beans and grains on Ekadasi day. And anyone who eats beans and grains on Ekadasi day will be eating sin personified. Very good, very good. And every Ekadasi, when I'm traveling about and see people eating all kinds, what to speak of grains, eating all kinds of things, but that's why we observe fasting on from beans and grains. But in our Hari Bhakti Vilas, which is a book written by Sanatana Goswami on how to observe, it's a how-to manual, how to do so many things. So one of the things that's mentioned is how to observe Ekadasi. And there it's mentioned that there's fasting and there's degrees of fasting. One kind of fasting is you take nothing. No, you can take air, but no water and no food. And then take water. And then take juice. Then take fruit. Then minimally no beans and grains. So the different degrees of minimizing, what Prabhupada writes in Nectar Devotion is, minimizing the demands of the body and maximizing or increasing the activities of hearing and chanting. I remember very early in our movement, we didn't understand what Ekadasi was. We just knew that no beans and grains, okay. But then the devotees kind of develop their speculative idea that it's a kind of punishment. We can't take regular prasadam, it's have to be no beans and grains. So they had that idea kind of wrongly evolved, and someone spoke it to Prabhupada. He just laughed. He said, no, it's the other way around. Not an inauspicious day or some punishment. It's an auspicious day. We want to maximize our opportunity for spiritual activity, and one of the ways is you minimize. Remember one of the things that we were taught, I don't know if it came from Prabhupada or from some smarter Brahmins or something, But, you know, we didn't shave on Ekadasi. And then that changed because we were going out in the public and people wouldn't understand, oh, it's Ekadasi, they're not shaving because it's Ekadasi. But so those that were preachers would shave and those that wouldn't. But the principle is minimizing bodily activity, bodily maintenance things, and increasing. And you do that twice a month for the year and for the whole, your whole life, and you've increased your Krishna consciousness through hearing and chanting. And by doing that, a taste for minimizing what we think is necessities and increasing hearing and chanting. Life is cultivating like that. But last point, following some point that came in the morning Bhagavatam class, anasaptasya vishayan yatarham upayunjataha engaging according to what is appropriate, or suitability is the translation that Prabhupada has given, according to suitability. So the minimizing and maximizing is according to each of our capacity. We should imitate Haridas Thakur or great personalities that may do austerities that are beyond our capacity to do, according to our capacity, according to our nature, according to our condition, spiritual and physical condition. We, in principle, it's good. Just like during Kartik, good. You have some Kartik Vrata. So commonly in our ISKCON centers, we sing the Damodarastakam song and offer a lamp to Lord Damodar. That's a nice vrata. And there are other vratas that you can observe on Kartik, Ekadasi, and in different places, in different ways, observing Akshaya Tritiya, because it's an auspicious day for serving Lord Vishnu. It's a very special day. That's just some... I was asked to speak about it, Akshaya Tritiya and its significance. So some thoughts on that topic. Any discussion? Questions? The answer to that is two parts. There are standard auspicious days that are universal, applicable for everybody. So in that sense, yes, we recognize there is auspiciousness with certain days, appearance days of the Lord, etc. On the other hand, what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita is the platform of devotional service transcends that. Shubha ashubha palayar eva mokshase karma bandhanai. It's not with a consideration of what's shubha or ashubha. Then going to the other side. However, there are times that are more auspicious, like Brahma Muhurta, we recognize this is especially auspicious. So it's nice. It's especially nice to chant very early in the morning during those Brahma Muhurta hours. But on the other hand, chanting the holy name at any time, in any place, in any circumstance, is beyond auspiciousness. Then going to the other side again, according to one's faith, one should be encouraged. So some persons may have faith in that kind of consideration. And so, according to that faith, that can be done and encouraged. On the other hand, Prabhupada considered things like when he held initiations, he didn't calculate, get an astrologer to calculate when it was auspicious. He held it during a time when everyone could participate. After work, or on a Sunday, or sometime. Commonly, ceremonial functions are like that, are early in the morning. Auspicious time. Prabhupada made another consideration. What could be, give maximum opportunity to others to participate in this nice event? And so you can go back and forth like that. So very much depending upon time, place, and circumstance, one can consider. There are smarter regulations that rule when one does not have faith in Krishna or Vishnu. Those smart regulations don't prevail when one has faith in Krishna. A nice example of that is Lord Chaitanya bringing Mahaprasad to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya early in the morning while he's still in bed, before he's even washed his mouth or taken bath or anything, and he brings him Jagannath Prasad, and immediately Sarvabhauma takes it, starts eating some. You know, the exchange. Lord Chaitanya said, Sarvabhauma, you're a very particular Brahmin, and Brahmins don't eat before they do their puja. What to speak of? Wash their mouth and get out of bed. And what have you done? You violated an important Brahminical principle. And to that, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya then quoted a verse from the scriptures that transcends that shubha, ashubha consideration. The verse says, when one is given Mahaprasad of the Supreme Lord, at once one should take that prasad in any condition one is in, and whatever the prasad may be dry and stale and old, and one should immediately take it. Of course, and that's according to faith. If one doesn't have that faith, then one observes these other regulations. And so there's this sometimes tension between smartas and Vaishnavas, where we're not following all the rules and they're not worshipping Vishnu. So there's this tension between the rule following and the worship of Vishnu. So worshippers of Vishnu may also follow some of those rules, and they may also not follow some of those rules on a higher principle. And there's no, like Krishna, the last instruction that Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita, sarva dharmam parityajya mamekam sharanam braja aham tam sarva papevyo moksha yishyami. So there's a dharma that says, do this at this time, in this way, and so forth and so on. Just chant Hare Krishna at any time, any circumstance. So a lot depends on where one's faith is. Yes?
When One more point I was thinking regarding her question is like Prabhupada, he himself moved into a home which was haunted, like everybody neglected to go there.
Yeah.
So that place becomes auspicious once you take Krishna's name in there.
Yes.
So
I can tell you some stories. I'll tell you one story. When we purchased a building in Manhattan, it was from Catholic Charities, the West 55th Street, 340 West 55th Street, between 7th and 8th Avenue. We purchased that building. No, between 8th and 9th Avenue. And it was Catholic Charities. It wasn't a church. It was Catholic Charities. So what it was an old age home. And one of the floors was where people would go that would die. It was, and then the whole floor, they had all these, you know, special places. And what became my office was the terminal room. And guess what? Along with me being in the terminal room, there were some other people. And the whole floor, you know, when we first moved in, you could feel other beings present, and some occasions people could see them, and some occasions they did things, and things would move around when nobody was moving anything around, and things like that. So we had said big kirtan, and some of them went away, and some of them stayed. Yeah. There's one more. In Bhakti Vikash Maharaj's book, I didn't read that book yet, but someone was describing in a lecture that helped edit the book. Dinabandhu was narrating this. One of the 64 mutts of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, initially before they had purchased something, was a rented place. And there was a ghost in the rented place. And Bhaktisiddhanta was visiting there, and the devotees were, you know, immediately telling him, there's this ghost. And Bhaktisiddhanta was very unhappy that they were so concerned. Just said, just chant Hare Krishna and everything will be fine. So the narration goes like this. There was one young person that was supposed to sleep in a place where the ghost was enter. And so the window was open, and this hand started reaching through the window. And he saw the hand reaching through the window, and he screamed! And the hand went away. And Bhaktisiddhanta said, what are you screaming about? Didn't you see? There was just chant Hare Krishna. So it happened again, and he screamed again. And so the hand went away. This time Bhaktisiddhanta sat by the window and just chanting softly. And the hand again started coming through the window. And he turned, just looked at the hand, and Hare Krishna! The hand went away. It never came back again. So there's some purity brings potency. Purity is the force. So chanting, and chanting purely.
Clarify what purity is.
Purity is where there's no other shelter. Anya vilashita shunyam. Jnana karma dinavratam. That's Rupa Goswami's definition of purity. Abhilash, or desire. There's no hankering for anything other than pure devotion, service to Krishna, where Krishna's interest is pleased, not a mix of my interest and Krishna's interest are satisfied. Krishna's interest alone is to be pleased. That's purity and devotion. We're running out of counter space. I think we need to stop and honor prasadam on Akshaya Tritiya Day. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.